I normally don't get into a news and stuff, but I didn't mention this at all, any of the political stuff. And it's not really political. I have never, ever watched an episode of Roseanne. No, I never did. I know that it was part of that whole real thing. Like it was real people. But I just wasn't interested in watching the lives of real people that I didn't want to imitate. I'd like to watch things that I want to be like. I don't want to watch things that I don't want to be like. So I never watched it. And probably I never will, but who knows? I mean, I don't know. If I finish all my projects in the universe and if I've written 100 songs a year and I've revolutionized the software industry and written my own AI and I have a few minutes, I might watch some Roseanne. But only after I get all that done. Well, George, that's a kind, gentle way of saying that I really do have stuff to do and there's a good reason why I probably won't ever watch it. No, it's all right to say. I'm not being passive aggressive. It's a way to educate people. Would you stop trying to discuss trade secrets of the podcast while we're in the middle of it? Okay. As I was saying before the podcast observer so rudely interrupted me. Thank you. I've never watched an episode of Roseanne, and I probably never will, but Limbaugh seems to think, I mean, he's got good reason. So, well, he seems to think it's important to talk about because, I mean, in summary, how he said it in so many words, typically the top rated TV shows, radio shows, dominate New York and Los Angeles. And this Roseanne episode dominated everything except Los Angeles and New York. And it got so many views it was better than many, many, many other highly rated TV shows. But it didn't, I mean, like the other TV shows have high ratings, but it did better than those. But it didn't do well in New York and Los Angeles. And so that's working against a lot of the, what you call it, worldly wisdom, the popular wisdom of the culture, the basic strategies of how to do this or that, how to market, how to promote. And I think that's interesting because so many things are counterintuitive. And if you don't get how life actually works, if you don't get the idea that throwing a ball towards a wall is going to make the ball come back at you, it's called bouncing. If someone doesn't understand how these things work, leaning into a curve makes you not fall over while you're riding a bicycle or motorcycle, for example. These types of things take normal smarts and real experience and real life in order to understand. But if you don't understand those things, then you wind up being one of those incompetent idiots running everything. And that's typically what's wrong with leaders anywhere. I mean, anytime you've got a leader that's doing a bad job, government, business, whatever, family, church. I should talk about that. Why not? Why not talk about incompetence in church? We're talking about leadership here, and metaphorically blowing up theories. Let's talk about it. What was his name? The Fuel Project guy on YouTube. He's this Irishman with this very endearing Irish accent. It's wonderful. I wish I could interpret it or mimic. Excuse me, impersonate it. What am I saying? I can understand what he says in Irish. I think that'd be really funny to put like subtitles like at the bottom of it because like the Irish have supposedly their own little language or whatever. But I mean, no, he's well. I mean, you can't. I'm an English speaker. I can't listen to someone without noticing the accent. It's part of good movie making. Just look at Braveheart. So he's got this endearing Irish accent, the Fuel Project, and he was talking about how the church is too milky. And he goes on and on and on. It's this long, long argument, long and boring and sounds really intelligent. And basically the point is Sunday morning is stupid. That's basically the point of it. But that's too much thinking for most people to follow. So he explains it over about 30 or 40 minutes, and it's watertight. Well, airtight, I suppose, is a better way to... Like, you cannot refute what this guy is saying. He is right on the money. Because, well, one of the things he says is that Russia had this big, strong... I mean, the clergy were excellent, and they had big gold-plated buildings. He doesn't say that, but I know that they did. They had awesome buildings in Russia. The communists showed up, pulled out the infrastructure, took out the pastors, and that was the end of the church, kind of. There actually was a lot of Christian activity behind the Iron Curtain that the West was not aware of. So when the Berlin Wall fell or was torn down, Christians went in and found that the church in Russia had been active. But nonetheless, it did pretty much stop a lot of Christian activity in Russia is how this guy's explaining this. But in China, they had been teaching Christians to operate without being dependent on a pastor in a building. So when the Chinese communists came along and took out the pastors in the buildings, it didn't really matter. Now, I tell you what, I am fed up, and I'm hearing it from I'm hearing it from Kansas City, from IHOP KC. I don't like hearing bad ideas from IHOP KC. I don't like hearing proven to fail ideas from anything good. And all of a sudden, this is coming out of IHOP KC. And that should make you ask big questions. Why? Why are failing principles being taught at IHOP KC? This, we are a church thing. There's only one church. Francis Chan says this stuff. IHOP KC brings in Francis Chan, and then they talk the opposite direction. This obsession with Sunday morning, location, professional clergy, territorial, you're owned by a pastor with a 501c3, which is a nonprofit, like registered government registered church in America. It's, most churches in America are government registered. So this territorial thing, I'm fed up with it. The Russia-China thing proved that doesn't work. Now, if you can see that and swallow that, good for you. If you have friends that are so slow that they can't swallow that, well, thank goodness over at the Fuel Project, some guy explains it really, really, really slowly that the slow guys can keep up and understand it that way. I just, centralizing stuff doesn't make sense. I've never understood why Christians vote Republican to not have a centralized government, but then turn around and vote for central planned Christianity. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. I've never gotten that. I think it's brainwashing. It's got what? I mean, something's got, I mean, what else is it? I mean, I don't, you know, at least it acts like, I mean, if it quacks, it's a duck. So if it acts like brainwashing, I guess it is. But speaking of leadership, I'm out of time and I need to get to the point. Governing is the opposite of control, not the opposite of anarchy. Anarchy is only 90 degrees off from control and governance. Governing is soft-handed guidance of a society with a mind of its own. Governance leads people by recognizing who the people are and thus calling them whatever and whomever they already chose to be. People have ambitions and responses, a psychology. They respond negatively to bad rules and appreciate rules that fit their daily routines. When leaders don't govern softly and fittingly, people rebel. Whoever rebels with hard fists fail, but well-fitting soft-handedness always wins, whether in leadership or rebellion thereof. And that's the point. I'm Jesse Steele, jessesteele.com.